All right, man. So we're going to keep this super simple to start off. Why don't, Chris, let's start with kind of who you are and why Queen Bee started. Like, give me the initial just reason why Queen Bee Cleaning started and where it's going now commercially.
For sure. So the company was started in 2015. It was an idea that was, it was my wife's idea. At the time, I was selling cars at a car dealership. So, it was a good job, making good money. And I remember when she approached me. Okay, so she started working for a company as a cleaner. And then 2 weeks in, she comes to me and she's like, "Chris, we should open our own. Maybe we can hire people and they're us, and then we can, look for customers and, we essentially become the middleman." And I remember I said, "That is the most ridiculous idea I ever heard." It just didn't see myself doing it. When I say cleaning, I'm like, "That's totally different from what I'm currently doing." And so my first response was like, "No, I don't think it's something I see myself doing." And she keeps going to work, and then the third day she's like, "Chris, I'm telling you, there's a lot of business. Let's do this. You only answer the phones. I'll do the jobs. That's all I need help with. And I'm gonna team up with my best friend, and then let's see where this goes." Originally, even she was surprised now, because her original plan was, "Let's just make this like us, kind of like a side gig. And make $5,000 to $6,000 a month, and we're totally fine with that." And so I said, "Okay, that's fine. I keep doing my thing. I answer the phones for you, and then you do the cleanings. I think that's good." So it was so funny at the beginning, because essentially I'll be at the dealership on my desk, and I'll get the phone ring. I don't know if it's a customer from the cleaning business or a customer from the dealer business. I'll be like, "Hello, this is Chris." It was kind of like awkward at the beginning, but what helped me, I was a salesman, so a car salesman. So talking to me on the phone, it was fairly easy. So I'd like, "Oh, you're looking for a move out, or you're looking for an office cleaning, right?" And I would say, "Well, let's schedule a in person walk, estimate, and that way I can give you some numbers." So little by little, and this is true. This is a crazy story. This is January. Early January 2015, and March 18, I look at the numbers, and like, she's projected to make three times as much as I am making. And I'm like, "Wait a second, I think there is money to be made in this industry." And that was kind of like the reason I said, "You know what? Let me just, stop doing what I'm doing." If we were able to kind of scale it so far, me kind of doing part-time thing, and it's only her and her best friend. If we grow this, I think certainly we can grow it. And so that was the start, right? And as of now, so we have 22 cleaners, local cleaners, and then we have five virtual employees. So we outsource some departments of our cleaning business, which is, the customer service department. That way we offer almost 20, oh, now we're going to offer 24 hours customer service, so around the clock. And then I also have a person kind of doing outreach to through Instagram and on Facebook groups. So it's kind of like a good team that kind of takes care of most of the operational stuff. And so yeah, it's been a interesting industry, to say the least, right? So obviously I made some mistakes along the way, but here we are, and I couldn't be more grateful.
I love it, man. I think that's an awesome story. 24-hour customer service. I've never heard of that in cleaning. What made you go to the 24-hour customer service model?
Great question. Everything was evolving little by little. When we were on our early stages, I was doing all the administrative things, emailing, creating offers, responding to the phone calls, do the follow-up. And I really thought that was really what set me apart versus, all the customer service, 'cause I knew the sales back then, like, "You need to do follow-up, because people forget about you, and then, keep doing it." But then eventually, you realize that you're dealing with invoices, complaints, refunds, reschedules. The team cannot get into a business or whatever. So that's when I started to say, okay, I need help. And to be honest, it was actually hard at first. I was like, ah, but I don't know if I can find someone that is as good as me. But I'm like, but I need help because I'm getting burned out. It was like a lot of things. And, you know, you're answering phone calls like 5 p.m. and after 5 p.m. actually. And I will totally hate that because I'm like, I'm already trying to, you know, get some time with the family and I'm still answering the phone calls. So that's when I started to look into the outsourcing. So look for virtual employees. I was able to find a person that helped me tremendously to grow the business. She actually had some experience working for a big, you know, a big company. So she had some cool ideas that you know, I was able to implement in my small business and then made certainly a difference. It was her idea, actually, to say, hey, I think we're getting some missed calls after 5 p.m. Would it be okay if we hire a second person for the second shift? And honestly, my response to that was, maybe, I don't know, because my fear was like, what if that person books a last minute job for tomorrow and then I'll have to scramble to find a team? You know, and I'm, you know, and probably maybe already, you know, either watching TV or something already at home. And I don't want to be like, hey, can we do this type of job? But at the same time, I was like, well, you know, who knows? Let's give it a shot. So I remember it was like March, and this is actually recent. So this was March of last year when this happened. So I said, okay, we're going to have customer service from 7 in the morning to 3 p.m., one person, and then from 3 p.m. to 11 p.m., the second person. And then let's see what happens. And James, I think, was the greatest discovery ever. My sales almost doubled, and it totally made sense for me. It clicked, and it's so obvious. It was like in front of us. If you think about it, you know, a lot of people that are looking for cleaning services, usually they cannot use the phone during working hours. So by the time they came home and they're looking for something, you know, if you have your hours open in Google My Business or whatnot, obviously they call you. And if you're the only person open, you know, you're going to take on all that business that nobody else is taking. So it literally, we went to almost double. And I was like, wow. And then from there, I was like, well, wait. So let's add Saturday and Sunday too. And then again, and so, and then it's been like that. But then I was just talking yesterday to it's actually a company have approached me. So it's not going to be really like a customer service in 24 hours. So I will still have the same hours from like 7 to 11 p.m. for phones. But then this other company, essentially what they're going to do is going to install a chat. And I already have a chat, but I ask the persons to give me the phone number and email in order to start the chat. And so this company is a little different. They actually start the chat without asking anything. It's more like answering questions, right? And then kind of walk the customer towards the either submit a quote or book online. But then, so that's essentially what I'm going to do. So it's going to be like support, but through chat after hours. See if that happens. If that works, then probably I'll move into the calling too. So it will be interesting. You know, we do get some requests at like 2-3 in the morning. So that tells you, like, there's people that, you know, have like different schedules.
No, I love it, man. I think that's such a unique idea. And you're adding so much value to customers, right? Knowing that after 5 p.m., if there is an emergency at their facility, mm-hmm. that they can still get a hold of someone at Queen Bee. It might not be you, but it might
that's
be someone.
Right.
Because things
you
come
know,
up.
You're absolutely right. Another thing was like a second benefit that came about with that is exactly what you said. You know, at a time of last month, you know, March last year, I think I had maybe 140 reviews total in Google. If you go right now, I have 320. And most of them says like they have a responsive customer service. They always answer, you know, and that really sets you apart. If you think about it, we're all used to let me order something and get it like in a few minutes, right? It's more like instant gratification. And you know, if you're answering always the phone, you know, they're like, oh, let me call them because they always answer.
Love that, man. I think it's such a competitive advantage because so many cleaners don't pick up the phone and they don't answer, and then you miss out on
Potential deals. I mean, worth thousands of dollars, some of them. If you think one missed call could potentially be thousands.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Let's talk a little bit more about Queen Bee as a company here, because I really love what you guys stand for. I feel your passion every time we talk. Talk to me about your team. You have multiple employees. You've been in business now for
7 years.
Five plus years, 7 years. What when it comes to Queen Bee's hiring, like one, who do you look for? What are the type of people that you're trying to build with? And like, what are those qualities and characteristics of your internal team that you're looking to hire?
Great question, right? One of the things I look is for attitude more than anything else, right? I don't care if they don't have experience, but they have the attitude of to help people, like, because essentially that's what you're going to be doing. You know, we're helping people clean their spaces so they can have a healthy life. Right. And so the attitude it's really what I'm looking for, because it's funny. A lot of people come, you know, we pay top dollar here. So we start at $18 minimum. That's with our experience. I don't care if you never, you know, used a vacuum before. And so that attracts a lot of people. Right. But then because they think, oh, it's cleaning. How hard could it be? It is hard. It's very physical. I've done it. And there was days that I was about to give up because it was like, man, I cannot do this every day. Like, it's very tiring. And so that's what happens. So when they come, right, and then, you know, I look for the attitude. Right away after I see, you know, I usually have the interviews and I see, you know, if they're all going, I tell them, look, this is sounds like an easy job, but it's not easy. I mean, it's easy, but it's very physical. So you will get tired. It's not like you're going to be just, you know, dusting. You know, you're going to be scrubbing and vacuuming and moving, you know, a lot. And I see the response, right? Right then I was like, ah, man, I mean, maybe this is not for me, right? And so I really look for the attitude, and because I really tell them, you know, I really want to be the number one cleaning company in our city. And we tell them, you know, we're going to look at the reviews. We build this along the way. We want to keep showing this image. And so that we are the best, we're the go-to guys. You know, don't go and try to, you know, save $50 over there. You know, pay us, and we'll make sure that the job is done. That way, we can pay you good.
I love it, man. And I think when you treat your internal staff good, in return, they treat your customers good, right? Because there's a win-win scenario going on.
Absolutely. You know, and to add to that, another thing that also was learned after a while, because we had a lot of churn, you know, when it comes to employees. They will come, stay 2-3 months, and then we'll leave, or start their own cleaning company, or whatever. So one thing I started doing, right, and it was like, well, let's every Saturday, let's get and you know, do like a lunch here. You know, after everybody comes home from work, let's do a quick barbecue. You know, we go sometimes to the park. So there's a lot of lakes here in Washington, so it's really easy just to go and grab a place very quickly. And so I started doing that, right? And then I also started actually celebrating the birthdays of everyone. Like here, you know, in the morning we have a cake. We know if someone's going to have a birthday. We bring a cake the next morning. We celebrate it, okay? And then we'll go. These little things, you might think it's not, man, that's when I started realizing they're sticking longer. You know, they stay here because they feel appreciated. You know, they're making good money, which all that's all it comes down to, right? We all want to make money. But when you make them feel like these little special, like, oh, they brought like birthday cake, right? And then I can bring my kids on Saturday and have a you know, barbecue, hot dogs, carne asada, you name it. So these little things that you just make them feel more like a family.
It's company culture, man, and it goes such a long way. It goes such a long way, and then not only are they more invested in the company, you're also more invested in their success. I absolutely love that. Hey, talk to me about your team setup. Like, obviously, you have your cleaners, you have you, your wife, and leadership positions. Do you guys have like account managers? Do you guys have managers? Talk to me just about
We need to structure that part because we have grown very fast over the last, like I told you, like little double from March to this year.
Sure.
And so before we were like a 12 person team, and mostly was still managed through my wife. So I'm at the top, you know, handling the marketing, customer acquisition, managing the virtual employees, right? Make sure that everything, you know, that they're not struggling with anything. Sometimes like, hey, can you help me with this? So I'm there more like to assist them. my wife more like in the operations side. So she will do the hiring, training, and then she will send the person with the team. And so because we grew so fast, we're still doing that. So still my wife, kind of doing the training, doing the interview. And now, you know, with 22 players, like I told, we need to start delegating more stuff and kind of, you know, getting the right help for each department. That way you can start walking away from it, because it's like we're still wearing too many hats, and we need that now, the help.
Yeah, welcome to the world of janitorial and small business, yep. Man. Delegation is such a hard task, and it's something that we all struggle with. I mean, in any business, but especially with a operations heavy business like cleaning, right? You're right. Managing so many different things. Sticking to kind of the Queen Bee story here, I love the fact that you guys give back to the community. Talk to me about your kind of give back program that you guys mentioned on the website. Just talk to me about the passion that you have for your community.
Yeah. So we donate proceeds every year to a center here. It's a school for school with disabilities, so adults with disabilities. And the reason we came about finding out about them is because my oldest son was diagnosed with autism. So this is in Mexico, right? And at the time, I was still in Mexico. And that's when I hear the first time, this is 1999. I'm like, autism, like, what is that? It was fairly a new term. And I remember the doctors in Mexico was like, well, you might want to go to the U.S. because the U.S. they're going to be having more programs, perhaps different trials or different, you know, perhaps treatments. So I was like, okay. So we decided to move here, and so you know, my son was a nonverbal kid. If you see him, you know, you don't think there's nothing wrong with it because he's just not a verbal person or a social person, always kind of like by himself. And after certain diagnosis here in the U.S., he was diagnosed with what's called Asperger or high functioning autism. So he's like, you know, I don't think he's going to be able to continue higher education, although we were told. Perhaps he will be able to finish high school, but then after that, you know, we're going to have to look for other programs. And so all this is happening, you know, he's evolving, going to school and whatnot. And when finally he gets to high school, we were reminded again, like, well, you know, he has, I think, 4 years left here. And then after that, you know, he really, there's nothing we can do. And so I started researching, and I was like, well, there's no school for that. And there is no school for any, like, you know, developing skills or you know, for adults with disabilities. So my blog, I remember, I think I saw an article, and then it was something about that center. It was like, you know, essentially teaching adults and how to become independent. So they would probably, you know, teach them how, you know, how the money works. So how that debit card works, right? You need to put money in and then, you know, you need to put back how credit works, so, like basic stuff. And so I went over there and, you know, they were able to connect me with Seattle Children's. And so my son was starting some different, I guess, called like treatments or trials. And it was pretty amazing, you know, to make that connection. And so at the time when we started having the company, I was like, you know what, you know, let me give something back, because what is cool about this story is that, remember, the doctors at the beginning said, you know, he's not going to be able to continue in the career because, you know, he doesn't have the level there. And when he was about 18, there was a new program also in Edmonds Community College, where they happened to have also like a program where for autistic people. So he enrolls there. He starts getting good at it. He starts developing like social skills out of the blue. Like he started actually talking about, oh, I like that girl. I'm like, what? Okay. and so, you know, and I'm going to ask her out, and I'm like, wow. And so things like that. Right. And then finally got his credits, enough credits that, you know, we get a letter from the college. It's like, you know what? He's going to be able to move into higher education. So like, wow, it was just such a blessing. And so right now he's graduating next year. He's studying film production. So he wants to be involved into, you know, making movies. he loves horror movies. I don't like him, but he loves them. So, you know, that's why he's into it. And so that right there, right, I was really impacted by the autism, like, directly. And I've seen it, you know, how my son struggled from the beginning. And then when I went and I was looking for options for him, it was like, no such thing. And so this center right here really is not only autism, but all other people with disabilities. And I think it's important because, you know, I've seen people do become independent after all. They develop skills, their confidence increases, and then they can do even more. So that's what we do. So every year we cut a check and proceeds, and we donate it to that center, and as a way of saying thank you.
Man, I just absolutely love that story. I think your son's story is inspiring to all of us, just like the thank never you. Give up attitude and nothing's impossible, right? And then
that's right.
The fact that you can use it, business really, to give back.
No, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I think that was it's one of my biggest, I guess, considered wins, because it really, everything was by researching, learning how can I, you know, help my son. And I was, blessed to really find that, you know, center and then connect me with other, you know, specialists. And it was just amazing. And then, you know, we came out perfect. So I'm very, very, very glad.
I think that's awesome, man, that you guys just use profit for purpose, right, and give back.
It really is. You know, I think it's important to give back to the community. It's just the right thing to do.
Yep, absolutely, man. Talk to me about your guys' training setup. How important is training your employees, and kind of what's that look like for you?
That is a great question. Again, for the longest time, we did it all by kind of manual. So I remember I bought some manuals online. And then it had like a certain setup on how to do things. So I said, okay, well, let's just rewrite it and make it our own. So let's grab what's good from here and then put our style or like our methods of cleaning and then come up with it. And for the longest time, this was sort of our onboarding process. And so someone gets hired. Okay, we do the interview. We meet them in person. Everything checks. Okay, here's this manual. Read it. I'll wait for you tomorrow. And then you're going to send you to with someone. And what was happening at the time, it's that every time you bring someone new, well, that person's not going to read the entire manual. And even if they do, they're going to retain very little information of that. So what happens, right? So the team that they go end up going to, you know, they're being dragged by the new person because they're constantly, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. So my labor goes up, and yeah. I will feel every time we hire someone new, I cut the checks and I have no paying payroll and workers come. I'm like, whoa. And it's because the amount of hours, right? And it's just inevitable. So I was researching, trying to find out, like, why is there such a training on for like NVIDIA or something. You know, it's so funny because I had a company and never thought of it. And I had the manual. I said, like, well, why would I, you know, do more training? I had the manual. And so I have a coaching program now, right, that I currently teach other cleaning owners how to scale. And they're like, okay, great. Thank you for all your tips, you know, and how to acquire customers, how to acquire, cleaners. But do you happen to have training in video? And I'm like, no, I have a manual. And I'm like, well, do you have video? I'm like, no, I don't have it. What is it stopping me from doing it? So literally, it was on March, we started, so we hired a videographer and everything and say, okay, let's make a list of how to clean an office, right? How to do post-construction, how to do, move outs. And then little by little, kind of breaking it down. So more like sections, right? How to clean a window, how to clean a floor, a hardwood floor, you know? And so it's going to be a library of how to's, you know? So it finally have it. So that's what we're going to do. And then like, why did I even do this earlier? I had to wait for other people to tell me, like, do you have a training program? I'm like, no, but I should definitely do it because we've been doing it and you know, it's so it's funny, but it's a true story. Yeah. After 7 years, we finally produced our training videos.
Man, I think you're ahead of the curve. A lot of people in this space don't have training manuals, let alone training videos. So I think you're on the right step, man. But videos just make sense.
It just makes sense, man. It's so easy to digest. You know, you learn it because it's visual, and then you see other people doing it. You'll retain so much more. I'm sure they cannot learn everything right from the get-go, but it's way better than having them read a boring manual.
No doubt about it, man. Last kind of question related specifically to Queen Bee, and we're going to get into some client-facing onboard questions here in just a minute. But what's like when it's all said and done, what do you want the Queen Bee legacy to be known for? Like, what do you want to be known for?
God, that is a great question. I really want to be known as the best cleaning company in our area. You know, well, we operate just north of Seattle, and it's called Lingwood. I really want to be like the number one cleaning company to go to in the Lingwood area, just because we really strive to make a great service. I mean, I protected that from the beginning. I told my wife, right? We were competing with big franchises at the time. You know, it was the Maids and the Merry Maids and whatnot with hundreds of reviews. And I'm like, if we are ever going to, you know, catch up to them or become better than them, we have to have that reputation online. So let's protect that from the beginning. And so I really want to have, as many reviews, so that way people can see there's real people, local people that, you know, these are the guys that clean my business the right way. You know, don't go somewhere else. And then also that it's a company that gives back, right? It's important. It's not just the bigger company, but it's a company that also helps the community. So it all comes from full circle. That will be my ultimate goal, and that will, you know, be amazing, really.
I love it, man. I think those are two good legacies to be known for. Giving back and good service. What more can you ask for, you know? All right, so Chris, let's move on here to talking about kind of client-facing questions. You get a new client, office building, small, big, doesn't matter. Maybe it's a string of residentials, whatever. What's your onboard process look like when you first meet a client, and how do you get your cleaner set up for success, and how do you make sure your customer's well taken care of?
It's a great question. So whenever I have an appointment with like a potential customer, so I go first, I document everything. I try to take as much information as possible, you know, take pictures, some measurements, make sure that we know what type of floor it is, how often they're going to be essentially needing the service, and then, you know, where the garbage is used, every detail. So I can, by the time I come back, you know, have all the information that I can create a professional quote. We submit the quote, and, you know, once they see everything that looks professional, that it's, you know, that we know what we're talking about, usually the customer says, okay, as they sign the agreement, at that point, I just choose whoever. I always like to send the best teams to, you know, to really wow the customers. So I'm saying, okay, I'm going to send you the best team. And then I talk to the best team, and I just tell them, you know, this is the instructions that I had from the customer. Make sure to, you know, leave the garbage cans here, you know, to use this. So I really go into detail, just explaining exactly. And, you know, your first cleaning is this, so you're going to be taking care of it. And so essentially, I always make sure that, you know, whenever I onboard a new person, then I know that's a new, you know, client. I really want to really wow them. I really don't want to go or have any mistakes, because it happened to me once, right? I was just sending someone and, hey, your ladies forgot to take out the garbage can. I'm like the first, the garbage, you know, to the garbage can on the first day. And I'm like, that doesn't look like you're professional, really. So I was like, that's never going to happen again. So yeah, I just really make sure who's the best team, tell me instructions, and they say, hey, you're going to be taking care of it. Let me know if you have any questions. And then they off they go. After the cleaning is done, you know, we have the customer service team now follow up with them and say, hey, make sure everything's good. You know, just to reinforce them, everything is checked, and then they're happy. And so it really just reinforces everything.
I love that, man. Talk to me a little bit about your customer service team. So after, is it every clean, every month? Do they check in with your customers, and kind of what's their purpose?
Yeah, that's correct. So, you know, so there's no all the time calls coming in. So the job is like, okay, well, phone calls are priority, always answer. But in the meantime, you know, you can send emails to people who are about, you know, for example, that you can see that they're you know, their contract is ending. You know, before that happens, like, hey, is there anything you know you're gonna do? You know, just make sure that we take care of them. Right? So people feel appreciated when they remember, even after years. Like, you know, we call them and we tell them, you know, hey, thank you for your business, blah, blah. They feel appreciated, and then they never leave you. If anything, when they leave you, it's because either they're, you know, struggling with cash flow or something, but it's never a matter of bad customer service. So the instructions, right, whether it's for commercial cleaning clients or residential cleaning clients, it's the same process. I make sure that you always answer, right? Make sure I always answer every call, every text, every email. Emails within 5 minutes. I know sometimes, you know, you're doing something else, but within 5 minutes, I would like a response. But always check on them, even with the ones that cancel. You might, you know, call them every 3 months, send them a text. Hey, how is everything doing? You know, keep on top of mind. And I think this is one of the greatest things I discovered when I was a car salesman that has helped me to continue scale. It's just the follow-up, man. You know, you have a database of customers that did business with you at one point. They canceled them or whatever. But things change, right? And then if you follow up with them, you know, you will be amazed at how many people will buy again from you. And yeah, so I think a lot of people forget that. Once they cancel, it's just like a lost customer. I'm like, no. You shake the tree and it works.
Totally. What type of feedback have you gotten having a customer support team in place? Like, have you learned things about, like, how you can improve your processes?
Well, right now, you know, most of my processes that are right now are thanks to my VA, because she was working for a big calling center. So she's like, oh, we should have like a routing mode, and like, she's telling me all these crazy setups, and I'm like, okay, well, you go for it. And
yeah, exactly.
And so the way I could communicate with them, right, because I don't, you know, they don't really call me or anything. We have a Slack. So we have a channel just for about every scenario. There's a cancellation, a new booking, a credit card charge, or an invoice sent, quote, or proposal sent, or follow-up. So everything, really a channel for everything. And they don't call me unless they cannot put up something out of, you know, there's a fire that they cannot solve. That's when, like, hey, Chris, you know, we need your help. So for me, just looking through Slack, you know, kind of keep an eye. Every call also gets logged in a channel. So even though I don't answer every call, I need to, because sometimes I notice this, it's important to have this Slack, and it was amazing. Sometimes, you know, like, for me, something is better than nothing. So sometimes if I see the week ahead of me, it's kind of spotty and it's low, and I see some calls that they were, the customer, you know, left because the price maybe was just a little out of hand. That's when I say, hey, listen, for me, something better than nothing. And if you think you can negotiate and we're still within room, I'll rather grab it than not having anything. And so whenever I see these chats, and sometimes I see, right, they sometimes miss this. Me, because I have so many years doing it, and I can see, like, oh, man, Friday or Thursday doesn't look good. You know, when the next customer calls me, I you know, I'm going to try to sell it for the price, right? But if it doesn't work, I'm going to try to work it out so I can fill out that position. And so, you know, when I see that, sometimes I say, hey, Gina, call that customer back and tell him, you know, I'll give him 10% off. And then what happens? The customer buys. So I said, yeah, it's always something's better than nothing.
Sure. No, I think you're absolutely right. And especially, like, just from a sales perspective, like, get the customer to spend their first dollar again, in this case, like, just get them back in the door and start building that relationship.
That's right.
How important is relationships to you guys when it comes to the cleaning business?
The relationships with the customers?
Yep.
Oh, well, very important, because this is, you know, again, all kind of, you know, falls into place when you take care of the customer, right? You have this, you know, they really like you. I'm going to give you a perfect example. When COVID hit, we literally shut down because nobody wanted us out of the home because of fear of getting sick. And none of our cleaners wanted to clean because they were also afraid of getting sick. So we were literally shut down for like 2 months. And what happened? More than half of the customers were like, here's the credit card. And then, you know, charge me like if you're cleaning. I was baffled. I was like, man, you know, for 2 months, literally the customers were paying. Not all of them, but like a good chunk of them. They were like, hey, listen, run the card. I don't care.
Because
and so it really all comes down to really, because they're like, you know, these guys say they also take care of me when it's needed. Let me take care of them.
That's awesome, man. And actually, you know, what's crazy about that is you're not the first person I've heard say that. I've heard multiple people say, like, when COVID hit, our customers, even if their facilities were down or whatnot, they still paid because we were all in like the similar position. And, and then when things opened back up, we took care of them as best as
exactly.
We could.
Yeah, I totally. And I know, and I'm sure that, you know, these other companies you talk to is because of the service they give, right? They really go above and beyond. And I think that's what makes them stand out apart.
I love it, man. All right. So I'm going to hit you with a few just kind of service-based questions and just kind of riff with me here through them. How do you know when you've just knocked it out of a park with a client? Like top-notch? Is it a 5-star review you're looking for? Is it a referral? What are you looking for? And how do you know you've absolutely just serviced that account well?
You mentioned them both, really. If I get a review and you know the I take the time to read them. Like I can see, like, the customer tells you exactly where you might be actually doing something wrong or bad, right? And say, well, everything's perfect, but I will change this, right? It's always it's good to listen to the customers because it really that's how you can steer in the ship. But the second best for me is a referral, because a referral for me, it's a done deal. It really is. When I say, oh, I'm referred from, like, oh, yeah, I got you. I know because the person that refer you knows me and knows that we really do good at what we do, and that's what you're calling me. So for me, even though I know I'm going to still have to sell it, for me, it's a done deal. And usually I'm always right.
There you go. I love it, man. They, you know, in sales, we always say the best sales strategy is a happy client that talks about you.
It really is.
Totally agree with that, man. Okay, so that's how you know an account is well serviced. What would be the benefits of partnering with Queen Bee? You have 24-hour responsiveness. That's awesome. You guys are responsive. What are some other added benefits of working with someone like Queen Bee?
Great question. So on top of having the 24-hour customer service response, right, being able to always, you always call us, we always answer, right? We have the 24-hour warranty. You know, we understand we're human. Sometimes we might miss a thing or maybe two. I just want every customer to find out whenever that happens, just call us. And I'll make sure that I send a team, whether it's the same or maybe another one, to fix whatever was done, you know, left. I really want everyone to feel it's, you know, what amount of the money they paid, it was worth their time. And whenever that happens, you know, it's pretty good because I like to tell them this ahead of time. Listen, I know we're not the cheapest in town, but whenever that happens and you have a problem, you can always reach out to me and I was always going to make sure that you're happy. And so when that, you know, you take that fear, it's like, well, yeah, you're right. My may probably go with this company that's a little cheaper. Well, what happens if, you know, starts going downhill? At least this guy's guaranteeing me that is going to make me happy.
Sounds like you guys care at the end of the day.
You really do. I think because without them, really, we don't have a business.
Yeah, exactly. No, absolutely, man. All right. So you kind of talked to us about what you look for in hiring, and you look for attitude. I'm curious, what else do you look for when you're hiring people, though, outside of just attitude? Is there you don't really care about skill set, but is there any other qualities you're looking for?
I like to look if they, you know, their job history. If there's someone that is constantly moving, that usually tells me that they like to move. They're not stable. They like to change jobs, change probably phone number, and, you know, and I know that's just going to happen on my case. So when I was like, yeah. So I look for stability. You know, look, you know, at least you 1 year plus. In previous jobs, doesn't matter if you were, I don't know, completely different job. You know, that shows me that, you know, you're responsible. You take time, you know, you stay in one place, and for whatever reason you left it. But that's, at least that tells me, okay, this person is more stable.
All right, I got a good question for you. I've never asked this question either.
Okay.
Brag to me about your best employee and why you love them.
Oh, God, I think, well, I have two. one will be my virtual assistant, Sheena. She hears this, you're a rock star. She really allowed me to see other things that I was not seeing. I was kind of like so in my, kind of like a horse, no? Like I knew my things, I knew my way. And I always like to learn things, but I never thought like, oh, maybe someone is going to be even better than me. So when I was able to kind of let the wheel go and she takes over, you know, there were some mistakes at the beginning, obviously, because she'd never done it before. But like anything, she catch up pretty quickly and she started coming up with ideas. And that for me was like, wow, you know, she takes ownership. She wants to make the process even better. Oh, okay, fantastic. Same thing with another, it's actually a brand new employee, fairly new. I think she, well, not that new. I think she has a little bit over a year. So she's on the admin side. And, you know, she didn't tell us that, she, you know, she went to college. I remember she was like, you know, she just moved from Mexico and she's like, hey, I got my visa. I just moved in here. Just want a job. And so we sent her, right? And, you know, she was in, so she studied HR. So she's like, she's specialist in HR. So first week she's, you know, working for us and she totally low key, you know, she tells my wife, hey, tomorrow, instead of putting the towels here, how about we just put them directly in the truck, in the minivan that we have? That way you save time because we have to put it here, then from here to there. Imagine the labor. And I'm listening to her. I'm like, that's a great idea. And so my wife starts talking more to her. And she's like, oh, actually, so I went to school in Mexico. And, you know, I was actually working in an HR department. I'm like, why didn't you say any of this? It's like, because I didn't think it was going to be applicable here. But I'm looking, you know, your operations and you can improve here. You can improve there. And I'm like, okay, well, thank you for, you know, suggestions. And those are really nice ideas. We want to implement them. And actually, it was kind of weird because, as you can imagine, the youngest and then the newest, you know, employee. And then there's other cleaners out there. It's like, what is she telling me what to do? I'm like, it's hard, right? Some, you know, some people are like, oh, you know, have more time, but it's really not comes to that. It's really the skills, right, that you bring to the table. I wouldn't have problem to follow a person that's younger than me if she's telling me, you know, how to do my job and perform better. But so that was kind of a little friction, right? Because she literally said, hey, you stop cleaning, you're gonna come and help me with the onboarding, the hiring, you know, the scheduling specifically too. So it's like, yeah, you're really lucky. I mean, if you think about it, because they came to me and then essentially they were like, hey, let's change some processes because you're doing some things wrong.
I think that's great, man. It's we learn the most about the like every day of our business from our employees because like, I mean, as a business owner, you're so far removed to a point to where like we rely on them. And it's funny what we think to be true and what's actually true. And we learn the truth from.
You're absolutely right. Yeah. That's
wild,
right,
man. It's wild. And it's really humbling too.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Why, we're going to get into some sales talk here, which I know you're a great sales guy, man. When you hear a client talk about, oh, we're already in contract or we're already working with someone, what would your response be to that?
Well, that's great, you know, but I would still love to extend you an opportunity to try our services. We really want to be the best cleaning company in town. And, you know, to make sure that you at least give us an opportunity, I'm going to give you a discount on the first cleaning, totally free. I just want to show my quality of work. And then after that, you can make an informed decision whether you want to continue with your cleaning service or not.
Nice. I love it, man. So do you you offer a free clean, huh?
Yeah, you know, I think you know, a lot of people are afraid of that. I also told me my, you know, the people that I'm teaching, you know, realtors, you know, I don't mind giving them a free clean because, you know, yes, you might lose a little bit on you know, you don't make money, you're going to pay your cleans out of your pocket. But what happens if that customer or that realtor or that property manager is wowed? they have multiple properties under their care. And what do you think the next logical thing it is? They're going to give them to you.
Yes.
So it's more like, I see it more like a customer acquisition cost.
Yeah, 100%, man. You got mm-hmm. the right mindset mm-hmm. totally
yeah,
and play there, man. You got to think long term. You can't think short
term. Long term, really. It really is. Another thing, you cannot touch onto that, right? Guys, if anybody's seeing this, really, this is what allowed me to scale so fast. A lot of cleaning companies, they charge a deep cleaning at the beginning. You get to the customer, you talk numbers and say, okay, you're going to be monthly, it's going to be this. But the first time, it's going to be this. And what happens? Usually that's a done, you know, like a turnout for them. I applied this probably 3 years ago. I said, you know what? I don't care about the deep cleaning. If it's going to be a monthly cleaning for like 2-3 years, why would I make it hard on him to do business with me? So I charge the same amount from the beginning and boom. So the commercials, they just don't get the big amount, right? It's like, hey, let's just start and then to get you going. Because the way you mentioned is like you said, I'll make the money. I see on the long term.
I love it, man. I think that's such a good idea there. It gets your foot in the door. It gets you building that relationship.
Yeah, it really is. Once you make the connection, you know, it's easy.
Yeah, 100%, man. So, okay. Going back to some sales objections here. All right, I'm already working with the cleaning company. I don't feel great about them. I don't know if I should switch. How do I know when it's time to actually make the commitment to switch to a new cleaning company?
Well, you just mentioned it, right? So there's already some quality issues there. And if you think about it, your employees at your location or your customers that come to location, if your business is not in tip-top shape, it reflects on it. And without you even think about it right now, it is going to affect your bottom line. So I think this is one of those things that you need to really take care of it. Again, let me show you what we are all about. And then once that you see the results and then listen from your own customers and employees, the results, then you can tell me.
Love it, man. I love it. What would you say to a business that has their staff? Man, I come across this all the time. Well, our staff does the cleaning, but then you walk in and the place is messy, and you know the store clerk or the register, or the person working the register, they weren't hired to do cleaning, and here they are mm-hmm. doing cleaning. So hey, our employees do the cleaning. I don't know if we should outsource it. What would you say to something like that?
That is a great question, right? But like you know, it's the office person is not gonna take the time. You know, she was hired to answer the phone, and while she might, you know, take the garbage out and dust a little bit of here and there, you know, you really need a professional cleaning to clean top to bottom, because number one, yes, the property is gonna look great, and number two, you're gonna avoid potential germs and then people getting sick for having, you know, a place that is not professionally clean.
I agree, man. I hear it all the time too when there's employees that are doing their own company's cleaning.
It doesn't work. I mean, they don't really do it. I mean, they might do it, they might like very superficially.
Dude, absolutely,
but
man.
After weeks and weeks, I mean, you can just tell.
I'm gonna give you a quick little story here, and mm-hmm. I'm actually gonna turn this whole entire thing to a podcast too, Chris, because it's just been that good.
Oh that man, awesome!
I just can't. We can use all this. Thank for you, podcast brother. Too, but I walked into a pet store with my two kids, and man, the place was just—it was just a mess. But it's like a professional chain. I won't mention the store uh-huh, name here, uh-huh. but. And I go to the store manager. I say, hey, man, random question. I'm in commercial cleaning. I'm here in Denver. I have a great commercial cleaner in Denver. Do you guys do your own cleaning, or like, do you guys have a cleaning company? And he goes, man, he's like, we do the cleaning and we hate it. And he's yeah. like, and he's like, you should talk to our store owner. And I'm like, absolutely. Can I
get yep.
his information? Yeah. Hey, here's the store owner's information. Get his card. Hey, can I tell him that Kevin told me to call him? Please, yep. please, please. Yeah.
There and you go.
now the deal never came to fruition, but like all of a sudden you get in the door that way, right? You start.
That is actually a great way because you say, well, you know, maybe they didn't have the budget, but basically think about it. when you see this, obviously there's you can see that they're having an issue, and that's the perfect time for you to approach them and say, hey, who's in charge here of, you know, the clean, you know, and who does it? Because more times than not, like you mentioned, they're going to be like, we do it, but we don't want to do it, or we hate it, right? So it's a perfect timing. I mean, I think it's just a matter of that maybe didn't have the budget, but that's the right way to do it.
Totally, man. All right. So quickly, from a commercial side of things, just talk to me about what services commercially do you guys offer?
Okay, so right now we only offer what is just office cleaning. So we use, what's carpet cleaning. We offer also carpet cleaning. So carpet cleaning and floor cleaning. So essentially, we use the same machine. We just change the head. So it's floor care, carpet cleaning, and then just regular, janitorial.
Awesome. No, I think that makes a total sense. Do you guys do any type of deep cleans for offices?
Yes. And then before that, yes, this is actually a new service that we started, pressure washing. So we also offer pressure washing because there was offices that are like, hey, can you, pressure wash the parking lot? Of course, I said, how hard could it be? I end up getting myself wet all over, but I got the machine and the machine painted itself. So now we offer another service.
There you go, man. I love it. So pressure washing it is. Do you guys do any type of window cleaning? If you do pressure washing, man, you should look into.
So yeah, window cleaning, it depends. So if it's interior, we do the cleaning. If it's exterior, we only do it on the first story. Just because our workers come over, just say, okay, you're going to go to the second story. It's going to go to this much. And it doesn't make sense to pay for that amount. I think that's what it's more like specialized, window cleaners, then they can do that. But is this interior? We definitely do it.
Totally, man. No, I think that's great. Man, Chris, I'm going to tell you, man, I think this has just been so valuable. Is there anything else about Queen Bee that you might want to mention that maybe questions I haven't asked? You guys really cover the whole gamut, residential, commercial. You have been in the business now 7 years. You guys mm-hmm. get back to the community, man. I mean, mm-hmm. anything that I didn't mention that you might want on record here?
Wow, I think we mentioned everything that I think is very worth mentioning. I think if anything, I'll just remind, your audience to, look for outsourcing. I think it's like the greatest thing any business can do. I'm telling you, you can outsource just about everything. And what's that going to do? It's going to free a cash flow so you can reinvest that into the business so you can scale even faster than it was possible before. I mean, think about it, guys. We especially COVID now, right? That kind of accelerated the virtual works and whatnot. But it's been here for a while, right? It's nothing new. I had some virtual assistants before doing like graphic design and stuff like that. So, really is, it's this opportunity that's out there. If you have any small business cleaning, pressure washing, whatever it is, right? You can outsource lots of them, departments. Watch your business skyrocket.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well,